There's a city in Galilee that you're not going to find in your concordance. Search the Gospels for it and you'll come up empty. And yet it sat just 4 miles from Nazareth, close enough to walk on a good morning. And for a stretch of Jesus' early life, it was the most important city in that region. Its name was Sepphoris, and what happened there may have shaped the way that Jesus talked about the human condition more than we realize. Sepphoris had a long history before the first century, going all the way back to the Iron Age, but its real moment came after Herod the Great's death in 4 BC. His kingdom was divided among his sons, with Herod Antipas taking Galilee. He immediately set his sights on building something worthy of Roman approval. Sepphoris was chosen as his showcase. He called it the Ornament of Galilee and poured resources into making it so. He built it in the Roman fashion, with a colonnaded main street called the Cardo, public buildings, a sophisticated water system, and a theater. The city was laid out on a grid, plastered with white limestone and visible for miles across the Galilean hills. It was, by every measure, a Greco-Roman city planted in the heart of Jewish territory. The population was mixed, with Jewish families who'd lived there for generations, alongside Gentiles drawn by commerce and the Roman administration. The population of Sepphoris in the first century was somewhere between 15 and 20,000. Nazareth, where Jesus grew up, was by contrast merely a village of a few hundred. And here's where the story gets interesting. The Gospels tell us that Jesus' adopted dad was a tecton, a Greek word translated as carpenter in many Bibles, but more accurately meant craftsman or builder. Think construction worker. Because Herod wanted Sepphoris to be a thoroughly Roman city, he'd brought in Gentile architects and engineers. But the workforce was mostly local Jews. They came from all over Israel because Sepphoris was the main project. You know how it is, you go where the work is. Housing an urban Sepphoris was way too expensive, so these workers formed the small community at the nearest water source, and it became known as Nazareth. That's why Joseph and his new wife were in Galilee in the north, rather than at their ancestral home of Bethlehem in the south. It's no great leap of logic to see Joseph, and eventually Jesus alongside him, working at Sepphoris during its long construction phase, which overlapped precisely with Jesus' childhood and adolescent years. The site was an enormous project requiring skilled labor over decades. It had a basilica, elaborate bathhouses, many private homes with fine mosaic floors, including the famous Mona Lisa of the Galilee, a stunning portrait mosaic that testifies to the sophistication of the city's inhabitants. The theater at Sepphoris was large. It sat about 4,000. It was a Greek-style theater used for the dramatic performances that were central to Greco-Roman public life. Comedies, tragedies, public entertainments were held there. It may be from there that Jesus drew his image of the hypocrite, a word used for actors who wore masks and pretended to be someone they were not. There was no corresponding image among the Jews, but they were well aware of Greco-Roman actors because of the few theaters in Israel, and one of the main ones being in Sepphoris. The hypocrite metaphor isn't the only place where scholars have noticed Greco-Roman cultural fingerprints in Jesus' teaching. His parables feature the economic realities of a Romanized agrarian system, things like absentee landlords and laborers hired in a marketplace. Also, a master distributing talents to servants before a journey. These aren't the social dynamics of a purely traditional Jewish village economy. They reflect a commercialized, stratified society where Roman economic structures have disrupted older patterns, precisely the world that Sepphoris represented. Sepphoris reminds us that Jesus didn't enter human history in a vacuum. He was born in a specific time, to a specific family, in a specific place, and under a specific set of cultural conditions. Galilee in the early first century was not an isolated backwater, insulated from the wider world. It was a region in active and sometimes painful cultural negotiation. Jewish tradition encountering Roman power. Torah formed identities, rubbing up against Gentile cosmopolitan life. Jesus was formed in that crucible. He learned a trade. He likely walked a road that his feet knew well, past the limestone quarries and construction noise of a Roman city rising under the patronage of a half-Jewish, half-Idumean client king. He listened. He observed. He watched people perform for audiences. He watched the powerful parade their piety and watched the gap between public mask and private reality. And then he preached. Sepphoris didn't make Jesus who he was. The eternal Son of God doesn't require a Galilean building project for his formation. But God, in his sovereign wisdom, chose to let his son grow up in a world where 4 miles made the difference between Nazareth and Rome. And what Jesus learned walking that road, he used to tell the whole world the truth about itself. Today, Sepphoris is an archaeological park known by its Hebrew name, Zippori. You can walk its ancient streets, stand in the rebuilt theater, and look out across the Galilean hills in the direction of Nazareth. The mosaics are extraordinary. The scale of what was built here is humbling.
Well, we're making our way through the ancient ruins of Sepphoris, which is just about 4 or 5 miles away from the ruins of ancient Nazareth and modern Nazareth as well, because Nazareth is a very large community here in the northern part of Israel. So making our way back down to what's called the Cardo, which is the main route through an ancient Roman city, leading to the heart of the city, which is in Greek Cardia. So the Cardo is the main way that goes to the heart of the city. And then each of the other roads would branch off of that. You'll actually find kind of a perpendicular road to the Cardo in the middle of the city. And around that Cardo, that main route, like we would say Broadway today, around that would be all the shops around there. But I'm looking there towards Nazareth, across the valley, 4 or 5 miles away. Sepphoris here, coming down to the main route of the Cardia, which we're going to walk through again. It's hard to envision what these places would have looked like during the time. You can kind of see it, but this main road down here that all of our guys, David and Chuck and Lance, are about to walk onto, that's the Cardo leading out of the city. And all the ruins that you can see have been excavated around this. These are the areas where homes would be, but also shops right along the main road. In fact, when we walk through a shop, which we'll do when we get into the old city of Jerusalem, you'll be able to see what it looks like today. Same kind of concept, same kind of idea. But what's amazing here are all the mosaics on the floor that we've been looking at as we've gone through this. This is a great example of what an ancient Roman city would look like. So here's the main center of this perpendicular road. These would have been walkways off the main road where the chariots and carts would go. These would be the walkways here. And then into the shops that would be beyond the walkways, where all the merchants would be.
Okay, we're here at Sepphoris. This is the theater at Sepphoris. And this is a site that either Jesus' adoptive father, Joseph, or Jesus himself may have very well worked on with construction. Nazareth is only about 5 miles away from here, sort of that way, over the hill. And we don't know for sure, of course, but it's entirely plausible that either Joseph or Jesus himself did work at a big city like this where there would have been a lot of construction to do. Now, Jesus was a builder. The word we translate that in most of our New Testaments is carpenter, but really it's a builder, someone who just builds and works with all kinds of materials, including stone. So this is what I want you to see, and this is where it applies to your life. I look at a stone like this. Now, when you look at this theater, you can see a lot of it is reconstructed. This is obviously reconstructed. This, that's original. Now, think about if Jesus were to build something, he'd make it good. He'd make it long-lasting. And look, I know it's like a 1,000-to-1 shot, but just pretend that Jesus himself worked on that stone. And here it is, lasting, fitting, being used. Some of these stones are also original, dating back. You can really see the difference between the reconstructed stones and the original ones. But the work of Jesus, when he builds, it lasts. Now, that's true for your life. Jesus Christ is working on your life. And what he builds lasts. It may take a lot of weather. It may bear a lot of storms. But don't be afraid. Don't be hesitant at the chipping and shaping that Jesus Christ has to do in your life. He's a good builder, and he knows what he's doing.
So we are here in the theater of the city of Sepphoris. This is the city, most likely, that Joseph had come to work on and why he was in Nazareth. Remember that Joseph, Jesus' adopted father, his hometown was Bethlehem. That's why they had to return to Bethlehem for the census and where Jesus was born. But they had to travel from Nazareth to return to Bethlehem. Well, why is a man whose hometown is in Bethlehem all the way up here in the north in Galilee at the city of Nazareth? And the reason for that is because Joseph was a, as the Bible calls him, a technon. Now, I know the tradition is that he was a carpenter, but technon literally means a construction worker. And most likely what Joseph was doing up here is working as a construction worker, because this is where the work of the time was. Herod Antipas really did not like the city of Tiberias, which is right on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. It smelled of sulfur because of the hot springs there. It was kind of swampy. There was a lot of malaria. And so he wanted something up in the hills in the same area that where the cool mountain breezes would blow. And so he decided that he would move his center up here to this area. There was already a village here. It was a well-known area, a lot of growing in this area. Trade routes passed by here. So he decided to move his center up here to this place called Sepphoris. Well, he wanted to build a city that was more Roman in appeal than it was typically Jewish. And so he brought in Roman architects and Roman craftsmen to oversee the project and design the city. But of course, for his workforce, he needed Jewish workers. And that's why Joseph is in the village of Nazareth. And the question is, well, Nazareth, where is that in relation to Sepphoris? It's a little less than 4 miles from this location. And the question is, well, why aren't they here? And the reason why is because of all of the Gentiles that were based here. The Jews wanted to separate themselves from them at that time as they're working on the city, good Orthodox Jews who didn't want to mingle with Gentiles. And so they were at the next available water source, which was located in Nazareth. You may remember that when Gabriel shows up to speak to Mary, it's at a well. She's drawing water. And so Joseph and Mary are living there in Nazareth, and he would make the daily trek here to work on the city of Sepphoris as a construction worker. Now, that means that Jesus, after he was born in Bethlehem, returned to Nazareth, and this is the area that he would have grown up in. As would be typical, he would be apprenticing with his father in his job, and so he was learning the construction trade. Yes, some carpentry, but if you visit this area, you realize really their main building material was stone. So most likely, Joseph was working in as a mason. And that's what Jesus would be learning. This city was an interesting blend of both Greco-Roman culture and Jewish culture. As then Herod moved his capital here, and this is where he would come and spend his time here when he was in the area, Herod Antipas, as the administrative center, there was a lot of Jews in the area because this is the capital of their region. And so the Jews and the Greco-Roman culture begin to merge together here. And that means Jesus would have been exposed to the Greco-Roman culture. This is a Roman theater. Roman theaters were used for public speeches on the part of politicians and civic leaders, but it was also used for the enacting of Greek and Roman dramas. And so this is where we get a unique word that we find Jesus using. It's not really a Hebrew word. It's a Greek word and a Greek concept, where Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 warns about judging. And then he says, don't be a hypocrite. You may remember, don't be a hypocrite. How can you tell someone else to remove the speck from their eye when you have a beam in your own eye? Remove the beam from your own eye, then you will be able to see clearly to help your brother with his problem. But he uses an interesting word there, the word hypocrite, which speaks of, it's a compound word, which was used for an actor from beneath the mask, hypocrite. From beneath the mask, because you can imagine when you don't have a big screen that can focus with a camera in on someone's face, and you're only seeing actors from a distance, from the stage, which is to my left, to these seats that are behind me, people's heads are very small, their faces very small, and as they're giving expressions to give clues to the audience, whether they're happy or they're sad, they can't really be seen. And so actors would oftentimes use these masks that had exaggerated features of smiles or frowns to let people know that they were attempting to portray that
mood. And so they would put it on their face, but speak through it. And the idea of an actor is somebody who is pretending to play a part. And that's why Jesus says, don't be hypocrite. Don't speak from beneath the mask. Be honest. Be open. Where did he discover that word? Where does that come from? Very likely it came from the time that he had spent growing up here, seeing this Roman theater. It's highly unlikely that any Jews ever attended any of the plays in a Roman theater because they were often, well, let's just say pornographic. There was a public nudity that was engaged in the Greco-Roman world. And so the Jews would stay away from this area. But still, the news of what took place here would be communicated to the Jewish community. They knew about what went on here, even if they didn't attend any of the dramas and the plays. And so Jesus was well aware of the wider world, the Greco-Roman world, as he's ministering to and he's teaching his disciples and training them up, because they are to take the gospel not just to the Jewish people, but ultimately to the world. And we're going to see some other places on our time here in Israel where he actually branches into a more Gentile area to make sure that his disciples understand that the gospel isn't just for the Jewish people, but it's for the entire world.